In this video, I'm going to look at what it means to be saved from sin. I'd like to start with Matthew 1:21. Speaking about Mary, this verse says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The first thing to note is that the verse does not say that Jesus will save people in their sin or with their sin, but from their sin. When this verse is examined closely, we see that the word save means to deliver or protect or rescue from danger or destruction. And the word from means to separate from or depart from, or it's a cessation of something. So the term saved from sin means to be rescued from sin and separated from it. Now the fact that Christians are meant to live a holy life and to be separated from sin is not popular with a lot of churchgoers. Many people say that Christians are just human after all and will sin just like anyone else, and they often use what Paul said in parts of Romans 7 to support their belief. For example, Romans 7:15 says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do." And in verse 19 he said, "For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Paul is describing a great inner battle between good and evil, and it is only after a person receives the Holy Spirit that this battle begins within them. The battle is between their sinful nature and the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:17 sums it up where it says, "The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." This conflict between the sinful nature and the Spirit puts believers in a seemingly impossible situation, as though they are fighting a battle that cannot be won. Romans 8:7 adds to this idea where it says, "The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." The fact of the matter is, our sinful nature fights against God's laws, and it is impossible in our own strength to have victory over sin. The evil within us prevents us from living a holy life and pleasing God. And unless God helps us, we will always be hopeless sinners, struggling to please Him. Thankfully, God does empower us to overcome sin. When we read the end of Romans 7 and into chapter 8, we see that Paul himself totally refutes the idea that he lived the life of a struggling sinner. In Romans 7:24 and 25, he said, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then he gave the answer to his own question when he continued on to say, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The King James Version says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" From this we can see that Paul is telling us that through Jesus we can be rescued and delivered from our sin, just as in Matthew 1:21 where it says that Jesus would save his people from their sins. This deliverance from sin is done through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is sent into the life of a person when he repents and puts his trust in Jesus for salvation. Romans 8:4 states this clearly, where it says, "The righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Note that it says that we can fully meet God's righteous requirements. So, through the Spirit, we can live a righteous life, not continually struggling in sin. Before going any further, I'd like to sum up what I've said so far. In Matthew 1:21, we're told that Jesus would save his people from their sin, yet many people don't believe it and use the excuse that they are just human. Some people use parts of Romans 7 to back up this belief, but they are in error because they fail to read on to the end of that chapter and into chapter 8. In Romans 7, Paul's words about struggling to do good describe the life of a saved person, newly saved or otherwise, who is either not aware of the victory that can be gained through the Holy Spirit, or, for whatever reason, has not repented of his sinful ways and come under the controlling influence of the Spirit. I'd like to now look at another passage which makes the work of the Holy Spirit very clear. 2 Peter 1:3 and 4 say, "His divine power, that is the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In these verses, we see that through the power of the Holy Spirit, a believer can escape the corruption of sin. The work of the Spirit in our life is very simple. John 16:8 tells us that the Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin. So whenever we are convicted of sin, the response required of us is to follow 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness." It's through this simple but often painful process of repenting and confessing our sins that the Spirit will purify us from all unrighteousness and enable us to fully meet God's righteous requirements and live a sanctified life, holy and pleasing to God. Living according to the Spirit is an obligation we must fulfill if we want to remain in God's love. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us that we are saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Note that it says saved, so we can see that our salvation depends upon our response to the Spirit. This is made very clear in Romans 8, 12 and 13, which tell us, brothers, speaking to Christians, we have an obligation. Note that this is an obligation, not an option. So starting again, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Whether we are saved or lost, that is, whether we go to heaven or go to hell, depends upon our response to the Holy Spirit. Remember that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. There is much more that could be said, but the aim of this video has been to give a short but clear outline to show that salvation is salvation from sin. There is no question that we are just humans and can't stop sinning in our own strength, but our almighty loving God has made a way for us to live a holy life before Him. And it is up to us whether or not we submit to the Spirit and become empowered to follow the command of 1 Peter 1:16, which is, "Be holy, because I am holy." John 1:12 says, "To all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." In the King James, the word right is translated as power, and the Holy Spirit is that power, the divine power of our Almighty God, which we must take a hold of if we are to be saved eternally. In this life we will never reach a state of sinless perfection, but if we maintain a repentant heart and confess our sins, then we will remain blameless in the Lord's sight and know without question that we will inherit eternal life. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you seek to please Him in all that you think, all that you say, and all that you do. This is the first of several videos I hope to make on salvation issues. God willing, part 2 will be on how to live according to the Spirit and be rescued from habitual sin. Amen.